to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
The Star Wars Sessions podcast.
Palpatine loves a good Star Wars session.
Absolute legends of Star Wars Sessions.
This is the way, this is the way.
Please welcome your hosts, Matt Hudson and Luke Bly.
This is where the fun begins.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions. Come for the Star Wars, stay for the... My name is Matt Hudson, a.k.a. Jabba the Hutt, and joining me here as ever in the cockpit of the Essex Falcon, he's the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. He's so cool, dogs call him a good boy. It's Luke Bly, Master Blywalker. How you doing, mate?
Dogs call me a good boy. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Oi, oi, Savaloy. Happy March still. I noticed that. I listened back to like the intro of last week and I'm like, oh, it's March and nearly a year ago of Star Wars Celebration. I listened to it. I was like, oh, shut up, Luke. Shut up.
You always sound good.
That cheeky little Cerveza Cristal. Go on, play it again for us. Play it again.
Oh, I've just taken it off the soundboard. You keep talking, I'll get it back on.
Oh, don't worry, it's not that deep. Like that, really.
I got it.
That really blew up like this week.
Oh, didn't mean to press it then, but I did anyway. Mate, that went wild. I mean, it's.
I know.
So we're led to believe that this has been out there for a long time and nobody's mentioned it.
I know, well, that seems to be the case. It seems to have just come out of nowhere that, oh, in Chile, in like the 2000s or something,
yes,
this TV channel got the rights to the Star Wars films, but instead of interrupting the Star Wars films with adverts, we're just going to bake them in. And so Obi-Wan would be like... Well, I'm glad you played it then, because that's what it feels like in the scenes. It's just, you know, Obi-Wan just goes to, you know, open a crate and there you go. Oh, it's
the
pouch
one that gets me.
Just in case you've not seen this yet, which I reckon you would have, right? But yeah,
it's
this just blew up
TikTok and everything.
It's a beer company like in Chile or South America or something. And yeah, I explained the rest. There you go. So that was fun, wasn't it, mate? That was fun. How on earth did that get like signed off? And
but,
I'm here for it though.
I think they're just like, look, we can play it on our Chilean terrestrial TV. Lucasfilm aren't going to come sniffing. They're not going to be checking, are they? Let's just put this on. And for the best part of probably 20 years, they've gotten away with it. it is hilarious though, because I said to someone recently, imagine like kids watching it and just thinking that's part of the scene. You just wouldn't, like kids growing up, they just wouldn't know. And then they see the original and think, oh, what's this bootlegged copy I've got? Where's the beer? But it's crazy. It came out of nowhere and it's just kind of, it's out there now. It's just saying.
I wonder if there's like any Star Wars fans from Chile who are like at Star Wars Celebration going, oh, do you remember the beer advert version of Star Wars? No, what are you talking about? No, there was.
No.
Do you remember that time where there was this beer advertised during the film, like in the scenes, baked into the film? No, mate. No.
It's like Back to the Future. I guess you're not ready for that, but your kids are going to love it. Like a year later, we are the kids who are loving it.
That's true. That's a really good point. That is a really good point. Well, talk about, you know, being ready for something, mate.
Okay.
Did you notice and did you see this week that there is an official Acolyte Twitter now that is connected to the Star Wars account? Did you see that?
Yep. Yeah, I did, man. It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It really
is. What's going to happen, mate, is we always say it, but I'm tempting fate just so it actually happens. But every time we record a main show, okay, 90% of the time we record a main show and there's rumblings that something is going to drop, it always drops either as we're recording or just as we finished. Mm. So if we can tempt any fate, the Acolyte trailer is going to drop soon. However, yeah, I did see that. I've seen the official Acolyte social account, which, like I say, is linked to Star Wars on X, mate. That also might mean that it could be another month before it's going to happen. But it, you know, it makes it that bit more real. We know it's happening. We all do. We've seen the trailer from Celebration, but the hype and the, maybe not the hype, but the push, the marketing, is very slowly going to start to trickle out, mate. And I hope it's more like an avalanche, because if they want to start this in June, mate, or whenever it was, June or July, that's 4 or 5 months. It's not very long. You know, let's get going, mate. But yeah, eagle-eyed fans out there were very quick to post those screenshots, weren't they, of the at official acolyte on X.
That's it. That's the username. I wonder if when the investor call happened or something, like someone just nabbed that name, and either X or Star Wars has just taken it over, because I think they do that sometimes, don't they? They will do that, right? They, like X, have done that previously, haven't they? Twitter.
Yes. I mean, especially if it's a dormant account, I think they can do. And but if it's I don't know the full ins and outs, the T's and C's. But if it is something like at official acolyte and someone's got it, I think they can come to an agreement somehow.
That's right. That's right. I texted Big Boy Bespin and was like, chances of a cheeky acolyte trailer this week? And he was like, look, I don't know, mate. I have no idea. That's what he said. But he pointed out that for Mando season 3 and for Ahsoka, they dropped a poster first, almost as like a little warning, like a warm up, and then a trailer. So keep your eyes out for a poster soon.
They probably did, but I don't remember any of the marketing. It all seemed like such a blur, and we've got so much more to come, mate. But yeah, man, very much looking forward to the Acolyte news coming out. A big shout out as well to Ludwig Göransson for his second Oscar. The man who revolutionized Star Wars music, bagged himself another Oscar the other night for Oppenheimer, and Star Wars was well represented. John Williams got his 984th nomination for Indie and the Dial of Destiny. But yeah, the man who changed the Mando music and Star Wars, he's doing well in the old movie business. So that was a lot of fun to watch those as well. But, you know, no Acolyte news coming out of the Oscars, sadly, mate.
No Kenergy in Star Wars just yet.
Blylo Renergy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not bad. Yeah, you were saying before.
Got one finally.
Right. Also, this is the last time you're going to hear about it before it happens. This Friday, the 15th of March, is a Sessions watch along just for the patrons. If you want to get involved, sign up to our Patreon now at patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions. This Friday, I'm buzzing for it, mate. Attack of the Clonage on a Friday night. Grab a beer, grab a cup of tea, whatever you want, and come along. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. Are you excited, mate? I've not watched Clones in ages now.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched it for a long time. I knew it was our next watch along, so I've kept off of the Clonage. And for those who've heard the commentary, I'll be, you know, I'll keep my commentary to a minimum at certain points, but the classic Patreon Clones commentary. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Like Lukey Boy said, grab a pizza, grab a Coca-Cola, go all out, grab yourself. Why not? Get in the spirit of things. But yeah, come along. If you're a patron, sign up. If you're not, $2 a month, or you don't have to, but you are going to miss out on another fun evening. We always have a great time with the watch along, always really well attended, and it's just a good laugh, isn't it, mate? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's nice putting faces to names a lot of the time as well. You know, it's like, oh, you see all these names all the time, these patrons' names. It's like, oh, that's what they look like. That's who they are. And by the way, you can come and be as chatty as you want, or if you just want to be quiet and kind of sit in the background and just observe, that is more than fine too. Listen, because we're getting on here, mate. This is a beefy intro, but like a massive, massive shout out to our latest patron, Rick Young. Woo. I wonder how old he is.
Forever young.
I want to be with Rick Young. Rick's joined at the high ground tier. What a sick head. Well, Rick is officially a sick head. Welcome to the Patreon, mate. Hope you enjoy all the bonus content. We've just posted a pubcast this week. We've done a load of shows last month. You got the watch along this Friday. Perfect time to sign up, if I do say so myself. Welcome, mate. There we go, Matty boy. It's done. It's over. Done. We've got the young thing out the way. What?
Yeah, Rick heard that, and he ain't a patron, though. no more. He's like, I don't need this in my life. Yeah, exactly. Rick, mate, thank you so much. Like Luke said, we dropped a podcast this week, in-person podcast from up in London. It's a good laugh, so go check that out. And yeah, we've got plenty more coming, including the watch along and much more on the horizon. So Rick, thank you so much for signing up and supporting the sessions. Now, let's move on, because I can hear that noise in my ear every week, my friend. It plagues me. It is the chimes of Big Ben Kenobi, which can only mean one thing, my friend.
It must mean it's like the news round. Speaking to Deadline at the South by Southwest Festival, Daisy Ridley said the script for our upcoming Star Wars film is still unfinished, but confirmed an array of new characters would be present. She also stated she does not believe Rey will have kids in the film.
Before the knowledge that A New Hope would receive a sequel, John Williams revealed he wrote a love theme for Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia.
And Star Wars Unlimited, the new trading card game from Fantasy Flight Games, has now officially released.
Hi, this is Kenny Lee.
This is Roger Christian.
This is Misty Roses.
This is Vanessa Marshall.
This is Mike Quinn. I played Nine Num in the Star Wars movies. And you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
In this wonderful franchise that we call home, we have 9 movies in the Skywalker saga, and we have 11 overall live-action movies to sink our teeth and our imaginations into. Obviously, we know it began in 1977, and here in 2024, we're expecting new cinematic editions within the next few years. But in terms of viewing these movies, surely you just whack them on chronologically in terms of release order, because that would make the most sense, right? Yeah? Yeah?
No. No. Oh. No.
Incorrect.
No.
Amazing. Every word of what you just said was wrong.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, who am I to argue? Anyway, tonight we're looking at the viewing orders for the Star Wars movies. What orders are out there and which do we prefer? Now, Lukey boy, firstly, viewing orders. What a crazy discussion to be having about our beloved franchise, right?
I mean, I mean, a little bit, yeah. The fact that this is such a topic and controversy in some parts of the fandom is both not surprising,
yeah,
and completely within the genre of Star Wars fandom. I'll put it like that. I think that's quite a diplomatic way of putting it, really. Listen,
I think so.
Yeah, it's been referenced in pop culture and on the internet for many years, basically since the release of the prequels, right? With the originals, it was, you know, part one, two, three, easy, done. With the prequels, especially because in their nature, they are prequels and they weren't always best loved, out came this kind of viewing order conversation. What do you start with, the prequels or do you start with the originals? And that's kind of where we're going to start with this week. But first, I think we actually received a Patreon question on this topic at a similar sort of time we were planning to do this episode. I mean, this episode's been in the pipeline for months, right?
Yeah. Well, probably and longer.
Yeah, probably longer, actually. And when Liberty Timmons sent through a Patreon question asking about this, we were like, right, well,
come on.
This
was last week as well.
This was last week, right? Should I read it out, or do you want
to go for it, mate? You've got a beautiful voice for radio.
Okay, right. So,
I've got the face.
Yeah, not the face, mate. Not the face. Right, okay. No, I have got the face for radio. That's what I should say. Right, okay. Liberty says, hey, hi. What is your suggested watching order of the films for someone who has never seen them? Okay, never seen them. I always like to hear people's take on this, release order or chronological. I found that when us older fans who grew up with the OT talk about Vader, it's typically with less sympathy than fans of a younger generation who grew up with the prequel era. Now, I'm going to take a break there. That is a superb point, and I think it's worth noting here, just in case you're a first-time listener or you've not listened to us for that long, which apparently there's been an upsurge in new listeners recently, which is super.
Hello there.
Welcome. Yeah, Matt and I grew up with the prequels. I would say we're prequel generation, right? You know?
Yeah. My first I'd seen the OT on TV. I saw the special editions at the cinema, but I can't sit there and claim, I'm OT through and through because I saw special editions, mate. The prequels were my first true, pure Star Wars experience at the cinema.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Brilliant. So we're both prequel heads. Next.
Yeah, man.
Liberty goes on to say, when I showed the films to my husband, who had never really been a huge fan growing up, we watched them in chronological order. Phantom Menace first, then the OT and ST with Rogue One and Solo in their respective places. He saw Vader as Lilani, not a raging psychopath, and therefore had more sympathy to his situation. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I can get that. She goes on to say, my take on Vader is that he is more of a cautionary tale. He made his choices and they weren't good ones. I have infinitely less sympathy. Wanted to hear your take. Thanks for all you do. Love the podcast. Right. Okay. Cheers, viewing orders. This plays into viewing orders for exactly what Liberty pointed out about her husband's take, that it can affect your relationship with these characters. The elephant in the room is that Star Wars, mate, is ridiculously popular. Ridiculously massive. Popular. So, if you've never seen Star Wars before, the question is, do you know that Luke is Vader's son? Do you know that?
That's the million-dollar question, ain't it, mate? Because it's easy for us to sit there in our bubble, and it is a big bubble, because, yeah, Star Wars is massive, and assume everybody knows that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father, spoiler, or alternatively, that little Annie becomes Darth Vader. Now, I have sat through and watched all of the Star Wars films with someone who had no idea that Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. So when that moment happened, they were like, what? They just heard Darth Vader and were like, no way. So there are people out there who genuinely don't know, mate. And I think you're right. It kind of almost hinges on that in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what I'm noticing is I think the whole popularity around, no, I am your father, especially around like younger generations, is getting a little less known just because there is so much out there. You know, like growing up in the 90s and the 2000s, and I'd imagine the 80s even, you know, you couldn't escape that. You could not escape that. It was just fact. Everyone knew about it. The Simpsons joke about it. I just watched a Simpsons episode with Sideshow Bob's brother, who's
Sideshow Mel. Oh no, not Sideshow Mel. I know who you mean. Sideshow Mel was Krusty's sidekick. I know who you mean though. It's his something Terwilliger. I can't remember his name now.
Well, the voice actor. Well, you know, Sideshow Mel's voice actor's Kelsey Grammer, right? Frasier Crane. And have you ever seen Frasier? Do you like a bit of Frasier?
I've seen a few episodes here and there. You know, I don't watch TV.
I know. Of course you don't.
Come on, I'm bad, man.
You're not a saddo like me. I like a bit of Frasier, mate. And Niles is Frasier's brother, and the actor, and the actor's name escapes me, but he also voices the brother of Sideshow Bob in The Simpsons. This brother from Frasier. So I thought that was
cool.
Interesting.
That is very cool. It's annoying. I can't remember what the brother's called. So I won't shout out live on air because I'm sure nobody cares. But Luke's boy's going to look.
No, let's do it. Come on. I know. Cecil.
Something to Williger. Cecil. That's it.
Cecil.
Yes, that's right. And he's even more scheming than Bob is.
Cecil. Good Star Wars name, potentially.
Like it.
Right. So we've kind of figured out why viewing orders are really important. And then you've kind of got the extra detail and context that there's been more Star Wars films when this debate began, right? So this debate began in the 2000s. And by the end of the 2000s, early 2010s, there were posts and opinions on the internet of all different kinds of viewing orders, which right. we're going to dive into. And hopefully by the end of this conversation, we can tell you guys what we think. What's our ideal viewing order? And
yes.
And somewhat answer Liberty's question. By the way, Liberty, phenomenal question, because not all Patreon questions get turned into main topics. I mean, have this written down before, but still, the timing's really good. So,
perfect.
Mate, should we dive into the history of viewing orders? Should we do that?
Yes.
Should we get stuck in?
That's why we're here. Yeah, no. Let's do it. And I mean, Liberty touches upon it in her question that when she introduced her husband to it, who shamefully had never watched them before. Come on, mate. However, he has now. But she says she watched them, obviously chronologically, but let's go back in time. We mentioned in our intro, it all began in 77. So you had 77, A New Hope. Empire Strikes Back, 1980, and Luke was calling it, the feel-good film of the year every year, Return of the Jedi, 1983. So you've got those three films, pretty easy. You watch those three, you've got a story, bish, bash, bosh, we all love a bit of nosh. But then, like you say, the waters got muddied somewhat with the prequels coming out. But even then, a prequel is there to set up an existing story, and if it does it right, then wicked. So you'd think that you could just watch it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but... You know, if you were to watch it 4, 5, 6 and 1, 2, 3, mate, as George Lucas released them, maybe not as he intended. I know we've got some Georgie quotes to get to, but I mean, you could watch it in release order and I think you get everything you want out of it. I don't think it's too confusing to watch 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. It is a little bit jarring in the sense that if you watch 4, 5, and 6, you're like, oh yeah, Luke's still king and Vader's a good guy and everybody's winning and dancing at the end. And then you go back to 1, 2, 3 and suddenly you just like descend into mass Jedi genocide and separatists getting slaughtered on Mustafar and Anakin being chewed up and burnt alive and Padme die. It's like, oh my, I can't handle all this. So it is a bit of a jarring way to end if you watch 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. Mm. First half ends really happily. Second half is, yeah, you end on the hopeful shot of the binary sunsets. But it's a heavy film, isn't it, mate?
But then we have the sequels. Then we have the sequels, mate. Because also it's worth noting we're talking about films at the moment. We'll get to the TV shows.
Yes, and it's live action as well. I mean, look, we can chat the Clone War film in later on if you can suffer through that. But in terms of live action films. Oh. So, yeah, you've got three ends with hope. But then you're trying to jump 30 years forward and you've got 7, 8, and 9. So, in short, mate, this is the way that we've had to watch it. You know, if you're going to watch it for the first time, you watch it in release order. Yeah, we watch all of the other ones 500 times in between the prequels and the sequels coming out. But truth be told, we watched 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8, 9, and it didn't do us any harm. But it isn't the smoothest way to watch it, I don't think. I don't think it is the smoothest way. I think it can be a little bit jarring watching it in release order. Is it bad? No, absolutely not. But I do think it's a bit jarring. I don't think some things come off quite as well in release order. I think at the same time, some things come off, something don't come off quite as well if you watch it chronologically. But in release order, I think it's a very harmless way to watch it. I don't know if it's the best one, though, mate, but it's what do you think? Because, I mean, I'm going through it in my head, and it's a little bit janky, but it's more than watchable.
I actually think it's one of the more civilized viewing
civilized
orders. Yeah, I really, really do. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm going to save my actual opinion for the end, though. What
Absolutely.
I think should be the viewing order, because I'm not sure if any of my opinions actually fit into what we're going to discuss. Because you mentioned chronological, we might just mention that now, get that over the way, because it's self-explanatory at the end of the day. But it's worth noting that watching episodes 1 to 6 and therefore, 1 to 9, Rogue One, Solo, is the preference of George Lucas. who said, start with one. That's the way to do it right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the way they're supposed to be done. Just because it took a long time to film, it doesn't mean you don't do it in order, which is interesting, actually. And I do really, really get that, especially when it comes to people saying, oh, you know, the twist with the Vader and so on. Well, really, I'm not sure if that stands. If you know about it, if you know about the twist, I don't think that stands. I think chronological probably makes the most sense in some ways. Saying that, a lot of people, especially young people, if they're watching Star Wars for the first time, the prequels, Anakin's fall to the dark side, you know, knocks them for six, mate. They're like, what? This guy's, you know, in Attack of the Clones, killing all the Tuskens, and then in Revenge of the Sith, you know, he commits all those atrocities. People are like, no. And I've seen the videos of people reacting to that. So obviously they have kind of a powerful reaction to give to people still at the prequels, right? I think.
Yeah. And it all comes down to that twist. Like we said, if you know the big twist from 1980, then chronological order is fine. If you don't, I think it does take away some of that heft, because if you know when they're fighting up there on Cloud City on Bespin, Vader and Luke, that all along, you know, this is this guy's governor. What's happening? And then he says, I'm your father. It lessens that impact. When, like Liberty, though, when I sat through and watched Star Wars with someone who hadn't seen them before, I just went 1 through 6, 1 through 9, sorry. At the time, it was 1 through 8, I think. But
yeah.
At the same time, though, and this is very subjective, and I think a lot of people will relate to this, even though we love it, we almost fell off after the prequels. And I say we, I mean the person I was watching them with, because, you know, they're watching The Phantom Menace and like, what is this, you know? And a lot of it was a little bit down to Jar Jar, some of it was down to the acting, some of it was down to the goofiness, and also not, you know, the iconography of what they'd grown up seeing. They might not have known the big twist, but they've seen Vader, you know, X-Wings, Luke, and none of that was really in the prequels, so it felt alien despite having never seen it. And then by the time you get to Revenge of the Sith, things got back on board, and that's when, you know, I proclaim you Darth Vader or whatever. They're henceforth, you should be known as Darth Vader. That became the twist for people and for the person I saw it with, which was pretty cool to witness. But then, you know, which one do you want to sacrifice? The Empire Strikes Back twist, or for those who haven't seen it, the Revenge of the Sith twist? Because then that, I hate the word twist, but then that becomes the major reveal. You know, you suddenly have two. But like George says, he went back to do the prequels for a reason. So he had a through line. For some reason, George was like, you know what, that first film, I'm going to call it Episode 4. Fine. So he went back and did it. So why shouldn't you? It's almost, it spells it out for you. Why shouldn't you be able to watch it through 1 through 6 and now 9 and be able to follow the story through without ruining anyone's experience? And can you watch it? The question is, mate, which I'll ask you, can you watch it 1 through 9 and still have a great time and still understand the beats?
Oh, I mean, you can watch in any order and have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah?
This is the only film franchise of Ponda Babba in it, with Bib Fortuna in it. Yeah, like, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
it's got that going for it. What, right? It's got that going for it. So, yeah, I think chronological makes a ton of sense. People aren't stupid, are they? They can get it. You know, they can understand it. Well, saying that, yeah, maybe not. It depends. Depends. Our listeners are all pretty cool, though. But we all know that, don't we? We all know that. As if you're listening to a Star Wars podcast, you're probably a Star Wars fan. You know all this stuff anyway.
We do have to stress one more time, because we are a Star Wars podcast and we assume everybody out there is huge Star Wars fans who've seen the films. There does exist people who have not seen these films, who do not know the twist. So whilst it might seem odd for us to be like, oh, I don't know, or they might not know Darth Vader's Luke, there are people, Lukey Boys encounter, but I've encountered people like that. I'm sure other people have as well. Yeah, this is the Juggernaut franchise out there, but not everyone's been invested in it like us. So bear that in mind as we go along.
And sometimes you just need to get out your circle to realize that. Like, we know this family, right, from Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
and they have never heard of the Beatles. Yeah.
And you're like, probably the biggest band of all time.
Right. Yeah. But and that's
people
and that's
out there don't, not if I was going to know them.
That's a reasonable thing to say, from a, especially from a Western perspective. But yeah, from a certain point of view. But and we were like, what? And it turned out they'd recognize like a few of the songs. But yeah, they were like, oh, no, not really. You know, I wouldn't know that. I showed them a picture. They were like, oh, kind of familiar. They recognized John Lennon with the long hair. I was like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, that's interesting. So you, but in that funny that, that kind of blew my mind a little bit, but it's the same as Star Wars. There's going to be loads, mate.
The Beatles aren't figuring down in the modal nodes. We know that. It's not. They're not even the Max Rebo band. But you know, not everybody knows them. But that's just how it is, mate. So yeah, sorry to interrupt you earlier, my friend. I just wanted to make people know that. Yeah, we're massive Star Wars heads, like all of you, but not everybody is. And it's an interesting discussion to have. And you know, these first two, like release order, chronological, they're kind of by the by a little bit, aren't they? It's when you start getting into these new orders and the first and final orders of watching it that it all gets a little bit more interesting, layered and convoluted somewhat, doesn't it?
Big time. Well, I don't think there's a better person to introduce this weird and wonderful section of Star Wars viewing orders than our friend Raj Kuthrapali from The Big Bang Theory. Let's hear it.
You know, I heard this way of watching the movies called the machete order, where you watch episodes 4 and 5, then skip episode 1, watch 2 and 3 as a flashback, and then finish with 6.
Okay, so you'd lose most of Jar Jar, all the trade route talk, and the boring Senate hearings, which are like watching C-SPAN with monsters.
Get rid of the trade route part. Then how would Palpatine get Chancellor Valorum kicked out of office? How would he get himself elected? How? Can we get through one holiday without you saying something ridiculous?
Oh, love
Star Wars.
Ah, oh, Star Wars. Star Wars like is us, everywhere.
Isn't it? Shelton. Is it Sheldon? Sorry. Sounds just like us.
Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean, skip the Phantom Menace? What do you mean? The truth is, though, the truth is, the Phantom Menace, I do think, is daunting for first-time viewers, for people who have never seen Star Wars before. The Phantom Menace is a lot, because it's one of the weirder ones. And then, mate, not being funny, Attack of the Clones is weird. And if you're watching those, I love them, but they are really bizarre at times. Great stories, but bizarre at times.
Yeah, the Book of Boba Fett of the saga.
Yeah, that's what we said the other week, didn't we? Like, it's like
weird, but it's so weird the more I think about it. But yeah, those first two films especially, they're weird and wonderful, wacky and flawed. But I don't know, man. What I noticed about looking into viewing orders and doing a little bit of research and taking notes was, you know, people really hated the prequels. Even up to like 10, 13 years ago, people hated them. You know, they didn't want to admit they existed. And the Machete Order, in a way, kind of does that as well. But that's what I've noticed. And obviously, people are now mellowing towards the prequels as this generation rises up to defend Attack of the Clones and the Phantom Menace for all their oddities. But it is a tough place to start. And the Phantom Menace, the more I watch it, you know, from a film fan and just from a lad, The Phantom Menace is fine. I mean, this Phantom Menace is a decent film. It's good fun. It just came with all that baggage where I think maybe The Force Awakens was more successful in pulling off that hype in terms of what people may have wanted, because, you know, and then people will say, oh, carbon copy and all that. It ain't. But I think the expectation drags The Phantom Menace down. To watch it now as a Star Wars fan, it is fine. It's perfectly fine. It's the newbies, of course, who I worry about.
It's really interesting, mate. You just said about, you know, the hype and anticipation of Star Wars films. And I think there's hype and anticipation for all of them. But I'm going to say there are three films that were ridiculously, ridiculously anticipated. That is The Phantom Menace in 1999. Never underestimate that. Never underestimate how popular that was. How many people cared about this film. I'm going to say The Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back was really anticipated because it was a sequel, the first sequel, Star Wars 2. Yeah.
And Star Wars 2.
That flops, you know, I don't think we have the Star Wars that we have today.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people were keen to see, well, what happens next and so on and so forth. Now, thirdly, mate, The Force Awakens. Mate. The anticipation for that, and I'm starting to meet kids nowadays, or like, you know, bump into younger peeps that didn't even see Force Awakens in cinema.
Oh, mate, don't.
And I'm like, what? What do you mean?
9 years ago now, I suppose.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah. That's depressing.
I wish we hadn't done a Force Awakens hype episode just so we could do it again. And the same for The Phantom Menace, just so we could go back and do those episodes again. Not because they're bad, they're quality, but I want to relive all that again.
I know.
Doing the research, watching the videos. I loved it. I would also throw in that I think Return of the Jedi would be the more anticipated of the OT, because once you've got Empire and you've got the I Am Your Father, what, where's this going to end? You know, Luke's got one hand, Vader's his government, what's going on? So I reckon that. But like you say, though, if Empire does flop like badly, we don't have any of this. As Lucas financed that film himself, we don't have any of this. It's just very, it's always mind blowing to think about that. But with this, but back to The Phantom Menace and this Machete Order, the Machete Order doesn't even have the Phantom Menace in it. And I know we just heard the lads from the Big Bang Theory debating it, but The Phantom Menace, do you remember what that documentary is called? I'm pretty sure it was just be called The Beginning or part of that. Because that is what it is. And it is true. Like, Palpatine's machinations mean nothing in Attack of the Clones without those little scenes, those little nods in Phantom Menace. The hubris of the Jedi doesn't quite come across as much if you haven't seen The Phantom Menace. Now, why is Anakin such a good pilot? Don't really come across. Seen The Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan Kenobi gets his own development towards the end. You know, the Clone Wars means nothing if you don't know, because who's the Darth Maul geezer? But so much happens in that film. You know, obviously with Padme, she meets Annie for the first time. How can you not put The Phantom Menace in? So I know we've got the origin of this Machete Order here, but it blew my mind going back to it, mate, and realising that episode one wasn't in there.
I know. So to reiterate, the Machete Order, and this is just for my sake as well, mate, is episodes 4 and 5, New Hope, Empire. Then let's revisit Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith as a flashback, and then wrap up with Return of the Jedi. Bear in mind, the Machete Order was written or suggested at a time when there weren't any sequel films. In fact, the term Machete Order was coined by blogger Rod Hilton in 2011, mate. And you can still find his original blog post talking about this, defending his reasons, defending his watching order.
Those comments, mate.
It's a lot. And you're bang on the money. So many people. We're rewriting history a little bit. Like, a lot of the fandom is rewriting history, forgetting how hated the prequels were. And it's so funny that nowadays it's just a complete opposite. And I think it's important to remember that, because if we look at history, we'll have a rough idea of how the future will go. But isn't that mad that this was coined in 2011, mate?
2011. That's wild, mate. And I read through the comments and I was like, man, some things haven't changed. People nowadays say nobody hated the prequels. Guys, so many people did. Even myself at a time, I was like, I don't think I should like these because nobody else does. But it's interesting because the Machete Order from 2011, the viewing order of the films, like Lukey Boy said, 4, 5, 2, 3, and 6, it follows Luke Skywalker's evolution. It's almost told from his kind of point of view. Mm-hmm. It focuses on his storyline. So people ask, what's the point of viewing it in that order? Well, it's so you can follow it from the heroes, from the protagonist's perspective, see it through his eyes. And it keeps that twist as well, comes in the second film, Empire Strikes Back. But then, they've taken out part one, and the blog post is still active. In it, Rod, Mr. Hilton, he kind of explains why episode one isn't in there. And yeah, he's like, oh, the funniest part is at the end, he's like, I think George would understand it not being in there. I don't think he would, Rod, mate. He spent a lot of money on this film. And for someone to say, yeah, I don't think George cares if you never watch it as part of his saga, is a classic Star Wars fan, isn't it? But he's 13 years, mate, this one's been out there, though. But keep the Phantom Menace in there.
Yeah, some of the reason he goes, what gets removed? And he goes, here's some stuff that you no longer have to see as part of your Star Wars viewing experience. Thanks to skipping episode one, virtually no Jar Jar, no midichlorians, no Jake Lloyd, no confusing Ooh. Padme Quinn switcheroo. I mean, to be fair, I do kind of get that one, you can deduce it. Like, it don't take a rocket science scientist to figure it out, does it? Less confusing master apprentice relationships. What are you on about? What are you on about, mate? No virgin birth. What? So,
but that's the whole thing.
Exactly. Because in Attack of the Clones and in Revenge of the Sith, they'll be like, oh, yeah, you refer to the prophecy of the Chosen One. What? What are you on about, mate? Midichlorians. I'm pretty sure they're mentioned, aren't they, in Attack of the Clones and Sith? Like, or
I'm pretty sure the word's mentioned, yeah.
So you're going to be like, hang on, mate, what the heck are...
Well, even the decoy thing, it sets up Attack of the Clones when Padme's decoy gets blown skyward at the beginning of Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, it's Padme. But episode one sets up that she has handmaidens. She has decoys who will take her place.
Right. Yep. Decoy. I just wanted to say that. But listen, I admire the thought and appreciation that just went into trying to fix, quote unquote, fix the Star Wars viewing order, right? I really admire the passion, which, and good on you, Rod, mate. Rod's got a cracking CV, still uses his website, but more of like more for just like a personal CV sort of, or resume, you'd say in America.
I wonder what his most viewed page is.
Well, after this, there'll be like two more people looking at it, you know. Matt Hudson, Luke Bly, just press and refresh. Okay, let's crack on to the next one, because I think this is a really tidy suggestion that basically works on the Machete Order. Now, this is called the Godfather Order / Rinster Order. Okay, bear with me. It's the same thing. But apparently, according to some people, the Rinster Order was named after Star Wars superfan Ernest Rinster and is probably the older of the two names, right? But I get why it's called Godfather, because it's kind of like Godfather, is it two, where there's lots of flashbacks in the episode 4 A New Hope, episode 5 Empire Strikes Back, and then the prequel trilogy episodes 1, 2, 3 as a flashback, and then Return of the Jedi episode 6, and by default 7, 8, 9. Maybe Rogue One and Solo after that. But yeah, right. What are we thinking? The Godfather, Rinster Order, pretty civilized, right? Because it's the Machete, but includes the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Old Rinstagram has just added an extra film in, but in doing so has, you know, completed the saga. Every generation has a beginning, and whatever it was, every saga has a beginning and an ending. This one now does. It doesn't have... I do believe getting the old Machete out and cleaving up the saga and just taking one of the films out damages it, you know, irreparably. And so putting this one back in, like you say, an inclusive Machete Order, which would then subsequently include 7, 8, and 9 to finish it off. It's tidy, mate. Like you say, it's civilized. It's tidy. It works. It is an inclusive, all-encompassing saga.
I've just thought as well, you take away Phantom Menace, in Attack of the Clones, you're going to think, Shmi Skywalker, who's this? Who's this?
Yeah, why do I care?
Who's this? Like, all right, is that his mum? Oh, she says like three words.
Yeah, and, I love, and then dies.
And the third one is.
it just deflates. But the first time you see Annie, he's kind of like fidgeting and like saying stupid stuff to Padme. He doesn't. He isn't entirely relatable in Attack of the Clones.
No.
Even less so if you haven't seen The Phantom Menace and realise that, you know, Anakin was, you know, he loved Padme from the moment he met her. And The Phantom Menace shows you that. Otherwise, he's like, oh, you've grown more beautiful. I've dreamt about you for the last 10 years. You've grown more beautiful for a senator. And we're all Obi-Wan thinking, what? What are you talking about? You need episode one, this Godfather order or Rinster order, the Rinster order, yeah, whichever one you want to call it. At the minute, from what we've spoken about, I like this one. I think this is good. Like you say, it's civilized, it's neat, it's tidy. It includes all of the story. And obviously this was written, this was introduced pre-sequels, but you can tack them on at the end and it continues it nicely. So I have no issue with this one, mate. I think it's pretty tidy.
Yeah, I think it's real tidy. Real tidy. Shout out to Ernest Rinster. He's full of the Rizzler.
Papa. Rizzler.
Right, okay. I think we've got that out of the way.
Rinster's pasty.
I love a pasty. Love a Cornish pasty, mate. Absolutely. Ooh, yeah. Destroy it. The next one, this gets a little bit wild, I think, don't it? Like the nesting doll order. What? What's that?
Yeah. Right, this idea is based on the Russian nesting dolls. With each movie, is just another layer within the story. So you know those Russian dolls where you take the top off, and there's another little one inside, and you keep going until there's one that's about my size in there. That is what this is. So here we go. Hear me out, right? So you start.
You could have Ross Sambridge as the biggest one,
Chris Bunn at the bottom,
and then you.
The original Russian doll. You've got
it is, mate.
I love that guy so much, kind of. Right. This one. So the machete order is framed through Luke Skywalker's POV. Yeah. Now the nesting doll order, this is now framed through Rey's point of view. It's almost like she is telling the story. So you start with The Force Awakens and you then go on to The Last Jedi. So you then meet Luke Skywalker. You know, Rey meets Luke Skywalker and he saves the galaxy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
To understand Luke's story, you then go back to episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
You then play Empire Strikes Back. No, I am your father. Now, to understand Anakin's backstory, we then go 1, 2, 3. All right, so you've got Anakin's story. We find out what the Empire's all about. And we also see Anakin's fallen. You then go to episode 6 and you then see the redemption of Anakin. So I think through some of what Liberty was saying about husband and sympathy, you have a bit of sympathy for Vader, but you have less time to feel sympathy. And then you go episode 9, which is the whole shebang ending up. So this is an interesting one because I think if you are this one is for the vets, the OG.
Like
you
say.
And I, mate, because like me and you, if we were going to do a Star Wars marathon and we're like, oh, how can we shake it up? This is probably the one you do. And then you kind of like keep going back on yourself. I would not do this, though, for a newbie, I don't think. And but can you see, obviously now going through that and understanding that we see it through Rey and then we tell Luke and then Annie's story. Can you kind of see the method behind the madness on this one?
I think it's a really, really cool viewing order. But you need, you know, when you go on job applications, and it's like, five plus years, 10 plus years experience.
Yeah.
Mate, what is this? Like, you need 10 years experience in Star Wars, right? to even attempt the nesting doll order. I think it's a little bit, I remember reading this. I actually heard about it for the first time a year or two ago on a Sky Talkers episode. I listened to a Sky Talkers episode and they were talking about this. I was like, what on earth is this? And it wasn't until we were doing research for this show that I recalled, oh yeah, the nesting doll thing. And I know you added it to the notes. And I was like, yes. Yeah, I remember that.
I'd heard that episode as well. Our buddies over there, they've also got their own machete order, which I'll mention a bit, which I actually think was quite interesting as well. But yeah, the nesting doll one, that's where I first heard it from. I can see the method here, though. I think it's an interesting way at doing it. But when you compare it to the Rinster order, you know, it's a little less civilized in that sense. The Rinsta one is pretty straightforward. This one now is, it is what it says it is. It's layer upon layer upon layer, Princess Leia.
Do you think there's like a Disney Plus developer that's listening to our show? And you know, when you go on the Star Wars section on Disney Plus, they'll go, watch Star Wars in chronological order. Like now we're going to have like, here's the Rinsta order. Here's the Nestindal order. How cool would that be though? That would be sick. Like to acknowledge that.
Even if you could just program them as a playlist. So, you know, like on Spotify, you can queue stuff up. It'd be great if we could just do that and just have it play like that without having to go through the interface and all that stuff.
That would be a cool long day with the nine films plus Rogue One and Solo, which we've rarely acknowledged in this episode, right? But we'll get to in a moment.
We will.
That's a long day. That is a long day. I'd need a lot of monster energies and the coffee on the go.
Oh, yeah.
Give me the sober noodles.
I do like those, mate. You know what I mean? For a little cheeky little lunchtime.
Are we going to go out? Are we going to go out and grab some food? No time.
No. Deliveroo now. But they've got to open the door themselves and come in because we're watching the Nesting Dole order.
Yeah. Doors open, mate. Doors open.
Come on in. Take what you want on the way out. Money's on the side, wallet. Yeah. But just on our buddies at the Sky Talkers, I noticed that they had their own machete. And I won't go through the whole thing. But I thought it was another, we're talking about Nesting Dole, kind of plays into the different side of the viewing order now. I do think this is more established fans, for the established fans. But so they say for this one, they've kind of butchered it by saying Phantom Menace and then A New Hope. That's like, so you're episode one and episode four, because then it puts a larger spotlight on Obi-Wan Kenobi and it plays into the intrigue of the films as a whole. And, you know, you're introduced to the galaxy. You see Anakin, Obi-Wan, Yoda. You hear the prophecy of the Chosen One. You go to A New Hope, and then suddenly, when Obi-Wan appears, it becomes obvious that many years have passed. So you go one and four. Then they say five, episode as Empire Strikes Back, then Attack of the Clones, and then Sith. Now, it keeps the twist going, and the prequels are then treated as an extended flashback. So you go five and then we watch two and three. So we see Vader being a baddie and then we go back to see his fall. And then it goes Return of the Jedi, because it's a transition between what's happening in Sith to what's happening. This is similar to the Machete Order anyway, but emphasizes the compassion. The audience is more invested in Luke reaching out to his father and more invested in Anakin's eventual redemption. And then I guess you just watch 789 after that. But another interesting way of watching the films, and it's crazy, isn't it, that we've got all these films and there are different ways to watch it, and you're going to get something a little bit different each time.
It's absurd. But what I love is that people care. I said this a few episodes ago, you know, the fact that Star Wars sparked so much outrage, so much debate, so much passion, good and bad, it goes to show how relevant the IP is, how relevant the mythology is. Yeah, I adore it, mate. All of this, I absolutely adore. Okay, so that's pretty much, there are obviously custom viewing orders. I saw a few others that are just like painfully obvious that they're like, well, if you do two and three and then watch, you can watch Clone Wars in a flashback. And like, well, it's chronological then. Yeah. Or you're just doing it after Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Okay. We get it. Okay. We get it. But let's just focus on films for the time being.
Yep.
Matty boy, let's smash this out quickly. Right. What is the best order for newcomers? What is?
If you ask me, I think the Rinsta order is the best one for newcomers. Okay. Where you start with four or five, go back, because it keeps the integrity of that twist.
Okay.
What about you?
Good answer. Good answer. I think that is a phenomenal shout. I'm going to get to this in a second anyway, but I would add Rogue One in there. I would actually start with Rogue One. I would start with Rogue One and then Rinsta. The Rogue Rinsta, we can call it that.
Yeah. I like it.
Rinsta, do you like that?
That's not bad, is it? I've got my viewing order written down on my notes. But
oh, okay. All right. Sorry, mate.
Yours is quite good, I suppose. It's not bad.
All right. All right, sick Ed. Right. What's the best order for veteran Star Wars fans, so people that have seen it. Now, out of everything we've just discussed, to spice things up, because we all need spicing up a little bit every now and then. Maybe you think, oh, it's a bit stale, and especially if you're not big on the sequel trilogy, I'm going to say Nesting Doll. Do Nesting Doll. Why not?
You dirty boy. That's what I was going to say as well, because if you know your Star Wars, then fine. Just go back and just keep watching it for a new experience. And
yeah,
sorry, guys. You're going to have to see it through Ray's POV, but English Rose, isn't it? English Rose.
Yeah.
Mate, good shout. All right, then. Well, you've kind of touched upon it. What's your viewing order then? So if I sat and I said, Luke, well, we're going to do a Star Wars marathon. We've got the Gregs in, but you can pick the order. What are you going?
Right. I'm going to keep it simple, mate.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it simple. Start with Rogue One.
Yep.
Start with Rogue One, then the original trilogy, and then the prequel trilogy, and then the sequel trilogy. There's a few negatives to that. You know, the stark difference in Revenge of the Sith to then The Force Awakens, but I think it works. And I think sometimes the less complicated, the better.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is starting people off with Phantom Menace, it does put them off. Not always. And I think if you're showing a kid, actually, if you're showing a child for the first time, I guarantee you, Phantom Menace will stand up better to them than A New Hope.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All Rogue One as well, because it's so much more accessible. Good shout though, mate. I've kind of taken a little bit of everything onto my one, but I think it works. So yeah, like you, Rogue One, you've got to start with Rogue One, I think, which then goes into episode 4 and 5. Okay. And then I'm going back 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and just for a laugh, then you go back and watch Solo, because The Last Jedi makes such a big deal of those golden dice. Go back and watch Solo. You've got to fit it in somewhere. And then end with The Rise of Skywalker. So Solo to episode 9 makes no sense.
I didn't include Solo. You've got to fit Solo in
somewhere. I wasn't going to, but then I've just been like, you can't machete order. You can't just have one film missing. I was like, I can't then say, oh, don't worry about Solo, but...
I never said that, brother.
You did. You're the lucky one. So otherwise, I mean, chronologically, you'd stick it in terms of the timeline. It goes before Rogue One, but you can't start with Solo. Solo has to go somewhere where Han is a big deal in the story. And
the other goes
between 7 or 8, I guess. But yeah, I've stuck it in there, though, mate, because it is part of one of the films. It's one of the films and people love it.
Yeah, they do love it. They do love it. Now, let's call order, by the way. I really like that. Very creative. Last but not least, what about the TV shows? Because I was on a Reddit thread, right, a Reddit post, and someone said, hey, I'm new to Star Wars. Can you give me a film recommendation or a film playlist viewing order recommendation? Because I've just watched The Mandalorian and I loved it.
Sweet.
And it was like, that's amazing. And if you recall, a few years ago, I got my sister and brother-in-law up in Birmingham to watch The Mandalorian.
And yes, they were
like,
yes.
Yeah, all right, we'll watch. They watched it and they were like,
I love it.
Superb. They had no context. They had a rough idea of Star Wars just through pop culture, through, you know, The Simpsons, Futurama, whatever. And it's funny how, The Mandalorian, wow, this show, man, this is amazing. They thoroughly enjoyed it. But I'm going to go out and say this is a bit of a cop-out answer. Until we complete the Mandoverse... Until we complete it, and even Andor, you know, Andor's not finished. Oh. I'm not sure I can recommend, like, watching TV shows here and there. I'm not sure if I can do it just yet. Maybe Clone Wars, but or Rebels.
We're kind of playing with the idea that people have, like, it's hypothetical, isn't it? You've got infinite time. You know, time is not an issue. Because I've got a list here, mate, of... I've got a list here of what the actual order is, and for some reason they start with Tales of the Jedi. I don't know about that. So I think something like that, you sprinkle it in a little bit.
Who said start with Tales of the Jedi?
This is
Oh, he
somebody
just
called
coughed.
Debbie Wolf.
Yeah, I love that. You just quickly muted your mic.
Because I knew that this one wasn't going to be. I was like, I've got to get this. I can't do it on air. It's not nice. So here we go. So they're saying, right, I'm going to pass through this. To watch this straight in, if you're going to watch it chronologically, you got to go Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, the Clone Wars film, the Clone Wars series, all seven seasons, Revenge of the Sith, The Bad Batch, Solo, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Rebels, Andor, Rogue One, A New Hope, Empire, Return of the Jedi, Mando, Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, Resistance, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and then The Rise of Skywalker. Mate, can you imagine going? I mean, it would be great, I bet, if you're wild, but that is the order, and you know, it's only going to get bigger. I know they say New Jedi Order and all that isn't connected, but it's part of the timeline, same as Dawn of the Jedi. At some point, that'll be the first thing we have to know. The Acolyte will soon be the first thing chronologically in terms of the timeline.
That's
you're going to have to watch, mate.
Speaking
of that up top, I think you're right, though, mate. Until the this is never going to win Star Wars. We've had that question before, but until those shows are finished, including Bad Batch, I can't recommend them just yet because the story ain't done.
Right. Always in motion, mate. Always in motion. We've not even touched video games and books, but
oh man,
I still think it's sensible for new people. Don't overwhelm them because 9 films, 100%. Or you know, 11. That's a lot. In my case, 10. 10 films. That's a lot. I would recommend, honestly, saying, look, the Skywalker saga is sacred. Rogue One adds a lot to it, so don't worry about everything else. Yep. But everything else, as awesome as it is, they are like an appendix, right? An appendix in a big book, and appendix and footnotes, right? Because that's what they are at the end of the day. We love Mando, but it's not the Skywalker saga. Yep. It sometimes flirts with it. Andor, fantastic. And I think once someone's gone through that viewing order, you can say, look, what's your, you know, what really stood out to you? What did you really like? And, you know, in a few years' time or months' time, we'll be able to say, well, I loved The Jedi. Well, watch The Acolyte. Well, what else did you like? Oh, I loved Rogue One. You know what? You should watch Andor. What channel it leads into, and then what else? Oh, I love this, the family feel to it. Oh, you know what? Say less, mate. The Mandalorian. Give that a go. Gets a bit wild. Skeleton Group. Book of Boba Fett. Ahsoka. What?
You having a night in with the boys on the beers? Book of Boba Fett. Come on.
Oh, always, mate. Always.
That's the beauty of it, mate. If you like video games, you've got video games to play. If you like reading or audiobooks, you've got all the books, and they all feed into the wider story, which is, you know, what they should be doing anyway. That's the beauty of it. But like you say, mate, stick to the core first. Stick to the Premier League. Again, not to play down anything else, but stick to the Premier League, which is the films. And then if you like what you see, like you say, mate, if you like the wackiness of the prequels, there are TV series out there for you. If you like the OT, you may swing more towards Andor. And obviously you've got animation as well. Don't know. Man, there's so much of that. But there is a little something for everyone, it turns out.
Well, whatever you do, whether you start a Rogue One, maybe you're a bit wild and you want to start a Phantom Menace, you're going to end up at Return of the Jedi. You're going to end up at Rise of Skywalker. Just have fun with it. And don't forget to enjoy it with an ice cold cerveza cristal. Cerveza cristal.
Hi, this is Mike Quinn.
This is Vanessa Marshall.
This is Brendan Wayne.
This is Guy Henry.
This is Kyle Newman, director of Fanboys and producer of Disturbance in the Force. And you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Well, like with some of those viewing orders, you might need a drink with carbonated soft drink with vegetable extracts, if you will, or you can have a beer or wine, whatever you want. Whatever the case, we're going to have one right now. We've pulled up the Essex Falcon outside of our favourite dusty drinking hole, the Bantina. And now the only question that remains, mate, is shall we?
Let's do it. Yeah, come on.
Can I offer you a libation? To celebrate the closing of our shared narrative, a libation.
can I persuade you to join us for a drink?
Anthony, give me the spiciest drink you got.
Pour me another Parkellan Sling.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink?
Yes, here we are. Each week here in the Bantina, we hear from you guys, the greatest listeners in the galaxy. We have a couple of Kef beers, or sometimes we have a couple of... This is literally probably the only week we can get away of doing this, guys. So, you know, give us this one at least. But here in the Bantina, we want to hear your thoughts. This is your chance to tell us your thoughts on what we've been discussing. And this week, we asked for your preferred viewing orders, and opinions came thick and fast, mate.
Yeah, they really, really did. People care deeply about this stuff. Would you believe it? A Star Wars podcast, people that listen to Star Wars podcasts have Star Wars opinions.
Crazy.
Danny Fandom says, pick a name out of a hat. Pick a name out of a hat. I don't know if he's like got confused at what post he's replying to there, but...
Solo.
We're talking about Star Wars here, mate. We're talking about Star Wars. None of your dodginess. I think Danny's just happy to watch whatever. Aaron Conza says chronological is the best order. It's how I first experienced the saga as a kid with The Phantom Menace, making me fall in love with the series. Great point. I've been on record saying that if it weren't for The Phantom Menace, I'm not sure if I'd be the Star Wars fan I am today. I love the originals. Some of my earliest memories are watching the originals, I'm pretty sure. But that Phantom Menace hype train was just off to scale, mate. And as a kid, yeah, there was so much to love about it. The video game, like all the tie-in stuff, was just absolutely immense. We got Big Boy Bell, who goes on to say, I think it depends on who's going to be watching them. For a younger viewer, I think the sequel trilogy is a good starting point. But for a more mature viewer, Rogue One followed by the original trilogy. In all honesty, though, I think the TV shows might be a better entry point. Rebels for a younger viewer and Mando for an adult viewer. This comment, mate, although differing from ours and, you know, part of what we just said, I think is so poignant. It's such a good comment, like from Big Boy Bell there, like flipping. You've slept in the same room as him as well, so...
Absolutely, I've been fortunate to share the same room as him at Celebration. What a man.
Yeah, we love it, don't we? We love it. Let's go for one more. 456, 123, Solo, 789, and then throw Rogue One wherever, so long as you've watched the original trilogy. So that's Kazdor 1138, our boy Dan, saying that. Interesting that he said put on Rogue One after the originals, isn't it? Like... Yeah.
I mean, it does have more... You could argue it has more of an impact knowing where the story goes. You know, certain lines in the film mean a lot more when you know what happens, but it sets up the intrigue if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Last but not least from Instagram, my brother says Wrath of Khan. I know the Americans say Wrath of Khan, don't they?
Wrath of Khan
first and then skip the rest. That's what he says.
So. Fair enough. I mean, you took a wrong turning there, but fine.
Yeah. And Goodman, obviously long-time listener and absolute legend and sickhead, replied to him saying, come on, mate, they don't all have Padme in them. Obviously remembers that time my brother just sent me a voice note ranting about Padme.
Oh, I understood that reference.
Yeah. I'll have to find out what episode that was on, mate. But what else are people saying, mate? On Twitter and like Facebook and that.
Let's have a look over there on the old X. The Travelling Geek says, for new fans, OTPT Solo Rogue One sequels, and for the old fans, chronological, even better when you add the TV shows in. What I'm seeing from X is that pretty much when people are talking about old fans, they're all saying chronological, including Rogue One and Solo as well, chucking them into where they should be going. Luke Kirsten says, release order or nothing. Or nothing. We've got a few of these, but we've got Pete Ledesma. 1 through 6. That's all.
Yeah.
We did get a few of those. Let's not pretend.
You texted me saying, who's going to say that first?
As soon as we posted it, I said, somebody's going to be like, oh, just one through six. That's all you need. We got a couple of it. Bizarro Fett, though, said all of it in the order it came out. Chloe, just watch them in release order. Chronological order makes no sense because the prequels were made under the assumption that you've already seen the originals, which is very true. And then one more of these just for a laugh on X, OG, PT, Rogue One, Andor, Solo, Mando, 1 and 2. If you want to, don't bother with the rest. So no sequels or no Mando Season 3. And then two over there on the old Facebook. The first one is coming from Chris Wiseman. He said it's boring, but the release order is the way to go. And then ending with everybody's favourite Mandalorian. I can't do that accent. He says, Adrian Chorley says, for a new viewer, it has to be release order for the main episodes. I'd then do Solo, followed by Rogue One, and that sets you up perfectly to start the rewatch. This preserves the reveals and allows the viewer to see the story unfold in the way it's been told. Once someone's seen them all, then it becomes a question of whatever takes their fancy. So a lot of people, they're focusing, mate, on the new viewership rather than the old fans, chronological, whatever, but interesting with the new viewers.
Yeah, big time, mate, big time. Lots of nice cheeky little opinions there, you know. I like them, and it's stuff that I would never have thought of. That's what I love. That's actually my favorite thing about the Bantina, is when people think of things that I'm like, oh yeah, that's kind of new to me. So good job, everyone, good job. Done.
Yep, fit. Thank you everyone who sent in your comments. We did get a lot of them, so if you didn't hear your comment featured, don't be alarmed. Just keep feeding us every week with your comments. Keep sending in your thoughts, and maybe, just maybe, you'll be featured on an upcoming stint in the Bantina.
For extra content, go to patreon.com/StarWarsSessions. You know it's gonna be so good.
Best podcast. Best podcast.
Best podcast. That's right. It's the spiciest part of the Bantina. It's Patreon question section. You know where to go. You know where to go if you want to get involved in this filth. Yeah, patreon.com/StarWarsSessions. Right, let's kick it off this week with Paul Buckle, who's saying, so, Darth Plagueis the Wise. We technically only have a brief description in canon of him, that he could save people from dying, was wise and powerful. No mention of evil or bad in general. Just an assumption, because he is a Sith. We also know that the Sith hadn't been an issue for 1,000 years. So my question before the Acolyte makes this a pointless question. What if Palpatine's former master was a benevolent Sith, almost akin to the Bendu, especially as all the books don't really count? Cheers, guys. Now we're talking, Paul. What are you saying, mate, boy, especially about the book stuff?
The Plagueis book don't count because that's Legends, and Legends is a little bit naff anyway. I don't care what people say. And that never counted anyway. The new books, though, Cobb Vamp and all those good stuff, all came from the books, guys. And the books should be filtering into the main story, not becoming the main story. That's what I've always said. And I love them. You know I love them. However, for this one, I think, you know, with Plagueis, they've purposely treaded around the Plagueis poodoo because they know fans have a huge interest in Palpatine's master. You know, Palpatine is the most evil being in the galaxy. You know, so who trained this geezer? Darth Plagueis. And you're right, Paul. There is barely no mention of him. I don't even know if they outright call him a moon. I know that in Legends he's a moon, M-U-U-N. I don't even think they say that in canon.
Thing that crashes into Chewie then kills him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Legends of the Crying Mountain.
Outrageous.
I don't even know if they've gone that far to say. They might have done, guys. You know, somebody might have done somewhere, but I don't believe it. They haven't. So all we know is he's Palpatine's master. He cheated death and Palpatine killed him in his sleep. That's literally all we know. I think there's a reason why they're not touching it whatsoever, because I think they are going to at some point. Whether it's the Acolyte, I don't know. And, you know, again, you know me, mate. I love the books. I love the comics. But this is a huge, huge, huge thing, which they will want to treat with the utmost reverence so more people can see it. If they're going to be talking about Plagueis, it's going to be in the Acolyte or a TV show or a film. Yeah. I think that's just how it's going to be, mate. And But was he a benevolent Sith? No. Now, I think the Sith in their definition are anything but benevolent. You know, they've got the rules too. They know they're going to kill each other. So, no, I don't think it. But to Paul's point, though, mate, just to clear up, it doesn't say anywhere that he wasn't a benevolent Sith. So he may have been. But I think anyone compared to Palpatine probably looks a little bit nice compared. So, in short, I think they're staying away from him because they're going to save that big reveal for a live action project. You know, a big boy. And he ain't no goody. He's not going to be coming out with cupcakes. He's a bad guy. What about you, though, Lukey boy? You know, were you thinking about Plagueis? And was he a bit of all right?
He was always a bit of all right, mate. especially because we got a good look at him in The Force Awakens on The Last Jedi before he was killed off and changed to just a clone dude, you know. I genuinely think he was meant to be Darth Plagueis. That score, man. Like,
Again, what? It's all hindsight now. Would you have preferred that if he was?
Yeah.
If they'd done it properly?
Yeah, big time. I thought it was a good way of explaining at the time the return of Palpatine, you know, if they were to go down that route. But I don't even think you need to bring Palpatine back to have the effect or the shadow of Plagueis. And I think that would have tied up the whole saga a wee bit better. But that's neither here nor there, mate. I think Palpatine and Plagueis are bad dudes. The Sith are bad dudes. Yeah. So although it says, no mention of bad or evil, just an assumption because he's a Sith. It's like, well, if you are a Sith, you're probably a bad dude.
Right? I think so.
I'm just putting that out there, especially in Star Wars. It doesn't mean you can't become good or you can't necessarily do good, right? That's also a core theme of Star Wars, forgiveness and redemption, obviously, goes without saying. I don't know, mate. I don't know. I think he was the Sith. Yeah, this dude could resurrect people, right? He could save people from dying.
Himself, yeah.
Like, everyone was chasing that. Everyone was chasing that until The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, when Ben Solo and Rey did their thing because of the dyad in the Force, which was like a, for lack of a better expression, a supernatural occurrence, you know, and it's probably the Force at work there, right? So, yeah, I think he was the bad dude. I wonder if we'll see him in The Acolyte. I don't know.
I think The Acolyte is multi-season. I think you mentioned it the other day. I think somebody actually commented, but I'd seen it before, that in some legal case, I'm pretty sure they'd confirmed, I use that with air quotes, that there's going to be multiple seasons. But remember, there were supposed to be 5 seasons of Andor. That was compressed down to 2. So multi-seasons could just mean it was going to be 1 year. Each episode season would be 1 year.
Interesting.
Leading up to Rogue One. But then they said, by the time we actually film it, it's going to take a decade, or if not more, to film it. Like 5 seasons of this will take, you know, everyone's going to lose interest. So The Acolyte, as far as I know, is going to be multi-season, but that could mean 2 seasons. So we may not see him in season 1, a little bit like K2SO and Andor. We ain't seen him yet, but he's coming, guys, he's coming. We could see Plagueis down the line, and the place to do it is The Acolyte for now. We haven't got anything pre-Phantom Menace, so kind of hope we do, mate, but I'm not going to hang my hopes too much on it just yet. So, Paul, nice question though, mate. Good job. Always enjoy hearing from the Earl of Oxford. Moving on then to our next question we have from Nick Krantz. Luke, he says, what's your favourite sacrifice in all of Star Wars and why? Just finished Rebels for the first time. He says he loved it, which gave him the inspiration for the question. So plenty of sacrifices. What's your favourite?
I don't know if it's just because of the timing and Bad Batch is like really prevalent in my mind at the moment, but Tick kind of stands out to me a little bit. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? You know, he shoots himself on the... Well, he shoots it? The... You know, just shoot himself. Kids show. Bye-bye, Omega.
Goodbye to all world. Hey, guys, watch this. Bang. Yeah, they initiated whatever the order was. I can't remember which one it was now, but...
Yeah.
Just 65. Give it up.
Long it off. Long yourself off. Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to beat tech at the moment. I can't think of... Do we get a sacrifice in live action? Well, I suppose you could say Obi-Wan.
We get... you get some, yeah.
You get some. I'm still... Right now, Obi-Wan is pretty cool, but that's more mysterious. Right now, I'm saying tech.
Tech?
Yeah, I'm going to say tech, mate. I'm going to say tech. What you say, mate?
It's a tough one, because in live action, other than Obi-Wan, which I think is the most, like, blatant sacrifice, I think some of them are from a certain point of view, because you could look at Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi and say he sacrificed her for his son.
I was thinking that,
but did he know he was going to die? He probably did. I mean, but he also did say to Luke, you know, take off my helmet because I'm going to die. Just, you know, let's not, if you're going to go down that way, of course I'm going to have to say the entirety of the Rogue One crew, they knew they weren't coming back. And they, you know, they didn't in the end. And the last scene on the beach with Cassian and Jean is great. Kanan in Rebels is astonishingly good. Star Wars, that is incredible. Ben Solo sacrificed the dark, I guess, but that, again, that's from a certain point of view. You've got that one in Clone Wars with that weird clone 99 who sacrificed himself to prove himself. Paz Vizsla, our boy Paz.
Oh, yeah.
No, he gave himself up. But, you know, I'm going to go... I think your one is a great shout, actually, of tick. But I don't know if it counts, but I'm going to have to say the Rogue One crew, mate.
I think that's the best answer. Legit, Rogue One. Yeah, I'm going to allow that. I didn't actually think of, like, the whole crew. I was thinking of a few of the individuals, you know, Jin and Cassian. But... yeah, no, Rogue One crew. Yeah, I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to copy you, Rogue One crew. There you go, Nick.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, last patron question for this week. Cheers for that, Nick, though, mate. Nice. Zillow Beast says, not a question, just a request to mention Star Wars Celebration 23 as much as possible. When you mention it, it instantly takes me back to possibly the best 4 days of our lives. Cheers. What a great use of Patreon question. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is golden. I love that. Should we share? I mean, you already mentioned that obviously you and Big Boy Bell shared a room at Celebration.
And a burger.
Why don't you tell us about that, mate, as a Celebration memory? Because you had an Airbnb booked and then you're like, nah, long it off.
Airbnb booked. It's about a 20-minute walk away. Google says it's like 12 minutes, but it wouldn't have been. We all know it because I had to go over some bridge which wasn't going to be open. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get rid of them scooters and like Elijah Wood it up. But in the Big Boy Bear was like, oh, I'm going to get somewhere. Do you want to jump in? And I said, okay, of course. So we had a great time with Big Boy Bear. And we, after this actually ties into another story, which I thought about. It's not even a story. It happened yesterday before this question had even come into my sphere. But we after Bibb's Bash, we went back to the hotel, which was right outside the XL, and we got a burger from a burger van, and we both eulogised to this day about how it's probably the best burger van burger we've ever had. And, like, truffles and all that stuff in it. It was really, really, like, over the top good. And we went back the next day and it wasn't there. But I was doing
Maybe it was never there.
I think after the amount we put back at Bibb's Bash, it probably wasn't there. But
you were just tripping
on that good times. But speaking of Bibb's Bash, I was sorting something out on our website, starwarssessions.co.uk, yesterday, and I was just kind of going through the blog posts we have on there, formerly the Holonet, where, you know, we post things here and there. And I saw the announcement for Bibb's Bash. So this is in maybe like January, February last year. Announcing Bibb's Bash. And, you know, we were like, oh, this is going to be great. We're given the details, what to expect. The poster was on there that Lukey Boy absolutely crushed. There's a little bit about social convention, where we held it, and some pictures. And it just really, I got hit like hard with the nostalgia, because that was pre-celebration, before we knew how all this was going to go down. Bibb's Bash was a massive success. It was a wonderful evening. And just going back to reading that, mate, and just like, we didn't know what was going to happen. It could have been the worst 4 days of our life, and we know it wasn't. It was incredible. But just going back to like the pre-celebration was so much fun. And yeah, I got proper high on the memories of of celebration, like how much fun Beeps Bash was, all the new people and the old people we met, people we'd never spoken to before, who just saw that there was a Star Wars party and just thought they'd come along. And, you know, hopefully you still listen. The quiz we had there as well, which was just like absolutely raucous quiz that Brian Herring jumped in on, BB-8, and old Snoke turned up as well. And then obviously the cantina going on from there, Cantina 2, which was insanely fun. And the Fox on Friday weren't, but mate, it's just mind blowing how much fun it was. But, you know, I'm going to throw it over to you now, mate. You know, celebration, we could talk about it forever, but, you know, hit me, talk to me.
I still love, like, waiting in line on that Friday.
I didn't like the smell.
Lucasfilm show. It's that potential of, you know, oh, what could happen? It's the unknown, isn't it?
You know, sorry, I don't mean to jump in, mate. You mentioned Friday. Let's go back to Thursday when we went to that quality little like food joint. That's what I didn't say. I looked at the gallery on our website. Do check that out, guys. It's good fun.
Yeah.
And one of the first images is these old timers, bless them. They're eating their noodles, and I've gone to get my pork bao buns or whatever I was getting. I've come back and they're sitting there, and they've got Sessions stickers on them. And Luke's obviously, you know, if anyone knows Luke, you know, it takes him 30 seconds and you're his best mate. He charmed them, put stickers on them, and they were like session sickheads now. And that was the night before celebration.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And everyone was there. Johnny was there. A big boy, Bill. My brother was there. I think Jack Copestake was there. You know, so many people were there. KT and mate, it's great.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. Hang on. Right. So we've got... Celebration. Is it on the celebration photos bit?
Yes, it should be at the top.
Literally,
it'll expand.
Oi, can we post that? Can we let's post that like this week and just be like, remember, like we.
I saw it yesterday and I was like, that, because the last photo is beautiful. It's literally, I really do. Our last picture is, you know, goodbye celebration, and it's the sign, you know, see you later as we're walking away.
Yeah.
And then that was one of the first ones, and it's such a cool kind of like bookend, the whole thing.
This is so funny. Going through all of the pictures. Yeah, this is wild. We bumped into Ali Plum. Oh, mate, that, what a weekend.
Star Wars explained in the bog.
Who asked this? Yeah, Zillow, honestly, go to our website, go to gallery, and scroll down to the Star Wars Celebration 2023.
We'll link
photos.
It in our post, shall we?
Yeah,
we drop right, the old timers.
Yeah, all right then. Yeah,
we won't be dropping any old timers. Drop me a photo.
No. Yeah, let's bless them. Right. Okay, that was brilliant. What a Patreon section, mate. We love it, don't we? We love it.
Oh, mate, I've got a big old smile on my face now. Zillo, you've done it.
The best.
Zillo, you have done it. Everybody out there, if we do when we post the old timers. Give us all your celebration memories, because it brings a smile to us, to everybody out there. And hey, look, we all need a smile every now and then, and that was a great time of communal joy. So let's not let that go, everyone. So thank you, Paul, Nick and the Zillow Beast, for your questions this week. We want to hear you guys and all your answers to those, including the celebration memories as well. But that's it, bartender, sorry about the mess, we're done. But don't worry, we'll be back again to spend some credits. Same time again next week here in the Bantina.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Star Wars Sessions game!
Game! Yes, here we are. We have reached the end of the episode, but we're not done yet. Each week we end Star Wars Sessions off with a Star Wars themed game. We alternate hosting responsibilities. I'm in the hot seat this week, mate. Do you want to know what you're playing?
Of course, always.
Right, well, as again, for the second chronological game of mine in a row, I haven't come up with a title. I've got a game, but I haven't come up with a title. So we're going to call it... Who said that? That noise at the beginning will become very apparent in a minute. So who said this? I'm going to play you, I've got five sound clips.
Ooh.
Five audio clips. They are quotes directly from Star Wars live action. And I just want you to tell me who said it. The problem is they've been put through the ringer a little bit and they've been modulated a little bit. You'll hear what I mean in a minute. It ain't going to be too obvious. Some of them I think are obvious. Others maybe not so much. So basically you're going to have five quotes. I just want to know who said them. And that is it. That is it. But you will have to listen carefully.
Okay. All right. So, all right. I'm putting my thinking hat on. Go on.
All right, DJ, don't worry about this hat. One. So, go on. Here we go. So more. Who said it? Here we go. Number one is...
What?
There's that bit at the end you missed.
What? Sorry, was that one clip?
Yeah, you missed a bit at the end though, mate. Right. So here we go. I'll play it again. Here we go, ready?
This is wild. Okay.
They don't all like this.
Right. No idea.
Their compassion leaves a trail.
Oh,
same quote, same being.
Is it a conversation or is it the
same thing? Person? Same person talking. So both things you've heard are the same thing. I just sped one of them up, but it's the same passage of dialogue.
Okay, so it's not like the first bit is also the second bit on one slow down, one sped up. It's one bit of dialogue. Thing,
but so what I'll just, I'll play in the background. We could probably talk over the first bit. Okay. Just listen very carefully for that bit that goes really fast because that's where...
It sounds like compassion. It sounds like it says compassion. This bit, I'm lost. I'm lost at this. Yeah.
Their compassion leads to trail.
Compassion leads to something.
I'm going to help you. Compassion is in there.
Compassion leads to betrayal or something like that.
Yes, you're so close, mate. It's not quite betrayal, but you're so close. Compassion, it's not leads to, but you're so close.
Is it Anakin? Is it Anakin and Padme?
Padme. Your final answer?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
No. It's the Grand Inquisitor in Kenobi. He said, the Jedi, they can't help themselves. Their compassion, it leaves a trail.
Their compassion leads a trail.
Trail.
And whereas when you said, get stabbed by lightsaber.
And I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Everyone gets stabbed. It's fine in that show. But you said their compassion leads a betrayal or something. Leaves a trail. You're so close, mate. They all know like that. Don't worry, mate. So, 0-1. I get it. That was tough. Here we go. Part two in go 3, 2, 1.
Does this sound like really obvious to you? Because you know what it is. Go on, play it again.
Again, halfway through, it speeds up. I had to speed up because it is obvious. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Oh my days, that is so difficult. That is so
after you
difficult.
Got a 5 out of 5 my last one, I brought out a big guns.
Is it from the prequels?
Yes.
Okay, I think, is it Plo Koon?
Does he speak in the prequels?
No, not Plo Koon. I'm thinking of the, no, I don't think he does. I think he goes, rawr! No, is it Ki-Adi-Mundi?
Is it Ki? Final answer?
I think it's happening in the Jedi Council for some reason. Right, that sounds so familiar. It's either Sith Council or like the Separatist Council.
My man is on the ropes here. I can see in his eyes he's burning to get these.
Okay. It's Sith Count. It's the Sith. It's the Separatists, and before Wat Tambor? Is it Wat Tambor? Like when he goes the Techno Union Army, and you've just slowed it down even more. Sounds like that. Go on, put me out of my misery.
You don't slow down Wat Tambor. It isn't the Techno Union. It isn't the Separatists. It is Jar Jar Binks, and I am your humble servant.
Oh, I
had to speed the bit up where he says Jar Jar Binks because it was really, really obvious.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think the next one is a little faster. So, okay. Ready for the next one?
Right. Go on, son.
Here we go. Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Listen carefully now.
What?
Here we go again. Here we go. Get your M count up. Here we go. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
No. No. One more time.
I just hear,
I think,
fuzzy.
You'll kick yourself.
I hear fuzzy at the end.
Here we go. What? Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Fall? Does he say fall?
Yes. Yes. Here we go. Here we go. Listen again.
Yeah.
Fall of the Jedi? Is it Fall of the Jedi?
Fall a couple of times.
You are a fool. You are a fool. Good night.
You ain't far off. You ain't a scouser. You've got fool as in, ow, I fell over. Or you've got fool as in, you fool, don't say that.
You fool. You rebel scum. No, go on, put me out of my misery. Here we go, mate. Right. I don't know what it is.
This is... Who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows him?
Of course it is. Of course it's that.
Okay.
People right. At home, are you getting these? Are you getting these? Because I'm not.
I am. I've got all of them.
I know
so
you
far.
Are, mate. You're like, oh, you're the maker. Oh, you know.
I'm Geordie boy.
Faster, more intense.
Slower, more intense. Right, this one isn't long at all, I don't think. So are you ready for this one?
Go on, mate.
Right, 3, 2, 1.
Right, brilliant.
Again, I know this one. Here we go. Right, again, I thought this was faster, but here we go.
Yeah. The shrubber.
Think. I'll give you a clue. Think TV.
Think TV.
TV. Don't think films on this one.
Don't think. Is it Andy Serkis?
Just sounds like Andy Serkis, doesn't it? Andy Serkis is in the show.
Oh. Is it my boy Luthen?
Say no more. I'm going to give it to you because, yes, it is. He says, I share my dreams with ghosts.
Oh.
You got it.
Just a smidge. Well, I got it on the second go, really. But, like, there's a slight cadence to it. I'm like, oh, that sounds like someone who has a deep voice anyway.
That's it, Dylan. Yeah. Here we go. Oh, Baron Harkonnen. Here we go. The last one.
Oh.
This is for 2 out of 5. You got one, though, mate, so you're fine. Your legacy is intact. Here we go. Final one in 3, 2, 1.
Palpatine? Somehow Palpatine returned.
Yeah. I had to get the best quote of all time in there. Here we go, just for a laugh.
Yeah, go on. Somehow Palpatine returned.
Mate, I sped that up. And I sped it up to the most it would go, and you could hear it perfectly. I had to slow it down to like, that's about 12-15% or something like that, because otherwise you could still hear, even then you can hear it. 2 out of 5, mate. That was tougher than I thought it was, even though I made the audio, but you didn't disgrace yourself. Well done, my man.
That is ridiculous. Cheers, mate. Good game. Good game for this week. Very fun.
He's sweating. He's ready for bed now.
I'm like, oh. No, I love it though. It's funny how on one of them I was like, that's I know that's from the prequels, but yep. I couldn't.
You got words, I couldn't, though. You got compassion, yeah. You got fool.
It's there. It goes to show, like, it's in your head. Like, this stuff is always in your head. It's stored there. It's just getting there, right? Yeah.
I know,
interesting.
Mate. You did well, mate. 2 out of 5, mate. That is this week's game to end episode 240. Whoa, 240, mate. Woo, well, let's not beat around the bush no more. That is that for this episode of Star Wars Sessions. The game was fun, but the fun doesn't end there. No one's ever really gone. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
They can find us at starwarssessions.co.uk. You can search for us on X, Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok. Just search Star Wars Sessions and you'll find us there. Feel free to drop us a voice note or a message to our email, which is hello there at starwarssessions.co.uk. We've mentioned Patreon. All support is much appreciated. We realize not everyone has the means to support. That's totally fine. But yeah, just bear it in mind. patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions. We've got a Discord server, like a big WhatsApp group chat. Let us know if you want to join that. DM us. That's it. Done.
Done. And don't forget that watch along this Friday, Attack of the Clones. Use the link Lucky Boy mentioned at Patreon to sign up if you can. But if not, if you want to support the show for free, we love that just as much. Just leave us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice. That's the only thing we ask. Just drop us a little bit of love there and we'll love you in return. You know, by the time we finish this episode, scroll up, scroll down, 5 stars, leave a review. Maybe if it's a good one, we'll read it out in the upcoming episodes. We want to start doing that a bit more, but those 5 stars really help the show grow. It gets new listeners in, and there's another way to hear from more of you each and every week.
Yes, and please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cats, tell your nearest Zillow beast, tell your Ewok, tell your cousin, the more the merrier, the Kessel spicier.
Tell your nearest old geezer have trying to eat his noodles before Luke puts a stick on him. That is the podcast you're looking for. So until next time, from me, see ya, and from Luke,
may the Force be with you always.
Luke!
Ooh, catch, 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 yeah, come on, come on, come on.
Ball, puckle. Set of air, time, please, darling.
They are Essex-based podcast heroes.
Every few months, the planet erupts into Jedi-fueled pandemonium.
What?